This is the opening sentence for this morning's service. It comes from Luke 24, and it's a prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, open to us the scriptures. Make our hearts burn within us while you speak. Amen. When I was growing up, my father had an unusual job. He was a topographer. Generally, people didn't know what a topographer even was, but it seemed like he was someone fairly important. As my brother and I got older, we figured out that a topographer was someone who makes maps, a kind of a surveyor on a grand scale. Where we lived at that time in the 50s, Alaska, there were many areas that had never been mapped and areas where the maps were entirely inaccurate. Obviously, maps could be important for all kinds of different reasons. One of the duties my father had for a while was trying to determine the correct names for the physical features of the land. This sounds simple, but it's not always simple at all. In the first place, there are old names which came from first peoples and recent names which were assigned for political or other reasons. So the highest mountain around was Denali to some and McKinley to others. Worse yet, some things had lots of names. Like the people on one side of a mountain would call it one thing and the people on the other side of the mountain would call it something else. So a mountain could be named Mount South or Mount North, depending upon where you lived. If you lived at the top end of a river, it might be called Dinky Creek. But if you saw it hundreds of miles downstream, it might be called Great River. If you were making maps, you had to come up with one name for the features on the map. After the map was published, then that would give the name on the map a certain authority and authenticity. The gospel has a somewhat similar history. In the time of St. Paul, when he spoke of the gospel, and he did speak about the gospel plenty, he was not referring to a book or something printed, but a group of oral traditions and knowledge known and repeated and passed on verbally by persons and groups. I understand that there were several groups of Christians separated from one another, and each having their own understanding of the gospel. From the very beginning, some Christians were Hebrew, some Greek, some Roman, and other cultures as well. During the first century, after Christ's death and resurrection, these various gospels were written down and passed from one person to another. Many of the writings from the first century were included in the canon, which is our New Testament. Many others were not included. It is difficult to be certain just who the writers of the documents actually were. Partly, this is a problem of names, since there were many Johns, Simons, Jameses, and Marks, and so forth. And many of the prominent people we know about went by different names. Many Hebrews had both a Hebrew name and a Roman name. Thus, Matthew was also evidently called Levi. James was also called Iago. Many people shared the same name, so there is a confusion about such things as who wrote the first letter of John, which contains a very famous saying, "God is love." Remember, too, that Jesus gave Simon a new name, Peter. The various books of the New Testament were associated with particular groups of Christians, followers of John, preserved John's gospel, and so forth. Followers of Christ in India were taught by St. Thomas, the doubting disciple. Last Sunday, our gospel passage told us about Thomas, who was also called Didymus. I've been thinking about Thomas all week long and doing some research. In John 14:5, Jesus had just explained that he was going away to prepare a heavenly home for his followers, and that one day they would join him there. Thomas reacted by saying, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Thomas said in John's Gospel, chapter 20, "Unless I see the mark of the nails on his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." This puts Thomas instantly in modernity from our point of view. Thomas seems to be not only skeptical, but presumably scientific in his reasoning. From our modern-day perspective, it is commendable to only believe something if we can put it to the test and thereby prove it. The nature and significance of Thomas came out in a new way in 1945, when the Gospel of Thomas was discovered in Nag Hammadi, Egypt. There seems to be a very real connection between the Gospel of Thomas and the doubting Thomas of Scripture. As a matter of fact, Thomas identifies himself as Thomas the Twin in the book itself. The Gospel itself is radically different from the other Gospels which we study in our Bible. Most notably, the Gospel of Thomas contains only sayings of Jesus and no details about his life or works. Thomas reveals himself as a seeker after knowledge. This is one of the first sayings he attributed to Jesus. "If you are searching, you must not stop until you find. When you find, however, you will become troubled. Your confusion will give way to wonder. In wonder, you will reign over all things. Your sovereignty will be your rest." In today's gospel, we hear the story about the disciples going out to fish. They are unable to catch any fish at all until Jesus tells them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat." In Thomas's gospel, Jesus says, "A true human being can be compared to a wise fisherman who casts his net into the sea and draws it up from below full of small fish. Hidden among them is one large exceptional fish that he seizes immediately, throwing back all the rest without a second thought. Whoever has ears, let them understand this." In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus asks his students, "Tell me then, who am I like? To whom will you compare me?" Simon Peter said, "You are like a just angel." Matthew said, "You are a philosopher of wisdom." Thomas said, "Master, I cannot find words to express who you really are." Jesus said, "Thomas, it is no longer necessary for me to be your master, for you are drinking from the gushing spring. I have opened it for you, and you have become intoxicated." His disciples said to him, "Who are you to say these things to us?" "You don't understand who I am from what I say to you, whether you have become like the Judeans, for they love the tree but hate its fruit, or they love the fruit but hate the tree." His disciples said, "Show us the place where you are, for we must seek it." He said to them, "Anyone here with two ears had better listen. There is light within a person of light, and it shines on the whole world. If it does not shine, it is dark." You may wonder why I am even bringing up this alternate gospel, which was pretty clearly rejected by the church more than 1,000 years ago. The majority of the sayings in this gospel are contained in the four gospels which we already study. But I believe that this gospel reflects the tradition of an early group of Christians which have nearly been erased from history. Their way of perceiving the gospel gives us another way of understanding what Jesus is asking of us. In a world of skeptics, a skeptic's viewpoint is of real value to us, and we can catch glimpses of Jesus you never knew about before. We who are troubled can take comfort in Jesus' words as reported by Thomas. Blessed are the troubled ones. They have seized hold of life. My father tried to create maps to guide people in the physical world. We also need guides to the moral and spiritual world. The Gospel of Thomas is one of these guides, which appears to contain valuable sayings of Jesus, some of which are of real use to us as we seek ways to live right and to follow the teaching of our Master. The early Christians were able to accept Saul as a true Christian, despite his former persecutions against them. In the same way, we need to accept and recognize wisdom and truth, no matter where it comes from. As Jesus said in the Gospel of Thomas, "If you are searching, you must not stop until you find." Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts to your words and the truth wherever we find it. May we be receptive to new ways of seeing things, new revelations, and new opportunities to serve you. Amen.